Hi, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Leah, and on this episode, I'm giving you a quick shot of romance, but author spotlight edition. And on this author spotlight, I am joined by author Danielle Allen. Danielle Allen is a novelist, educator, and life coach. Living authentically has been the key to her living her best life, with a background in social sciences, helping people better understand themselves so they can become the best version of themselves is one of her passions. Writing contemporary romance novels that challenge the status quo of the genre is another. Well, welcome to the podcast, Danielle.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
It is a delight. Okay, so before we talk Plus Size Player, which is your newest release, let's get to know you a little bit.
Yes.
So what drew you to the romance genre as a writer?
I love love. Mm-hmm. I think there's romance is such a great vehicle for so many different type of stories. Yeah. And then when you look at other genres, a lot of them use romance in that forward the storyline, the character arc, all of that. So I just love love and I love romance. And when growing up, I went from Sweet Valley High
Oh, I love Sweet Valley High.
to like Eric Jerome Dickey. And like, and so it was like going from, you know, Jessica and Elizabeth Wakefield, who like grown 30, 40 plus women, like getting their lives with a grown man. So I never really saw that middle ground. And so when after I graduated from college, I was like, I want to write a book. Like, I've always wanted to write a book, but when I was going to write a book, knew it was going to be romance, and I knew it was going to focus on people looked like me, age the same, body size, hair. Like, I wanted to make sure that I was seeing myself, but then also people like behind me would also see themselves too, because I can't think of any black people who went to Sweet Valley High. But I was right there for every book, but I was like, I wasn't seeing me at Sweet Valley High.
I mean, you're not wrong. So, are you still an avid reader?
Not as much as I used to be. It's hard for me to read and write at the same time. So I don't like to, I never want to feel like someone else's voice is influencing mine. And so I don't read and write at the same time. But whenever I've had to do like in conversations with people, and I like will get the audiobook and I'll listen, and that's how I'll like read their book. But I haven't been able to, outside of ARCs, I haven't been able to like read anything just for pleasure in so long. And that's just because the books have to come out back to back, or have to be written or rewritten and edited and all of that. So it's like I'm constantly working. So I don't really get the pleasure of like just sitting back and like flipping the pages. So I buy books to support, because I just think that it's important to like show up and like buy the books, especially school copies. And then but then they just sit there and
But
I don't.
you'll get to them eventually.
One day I'll be up.
Someday. So it's funny because I sit in front of like all these paperbacks, which I will say I've read most of them, but only in ebook form. Like, I don't crack a paperback.
It's so much easier to like read on
Oh,
your
I know.
phone, because you can pull it out anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, I like will stand in line at the grocery store and just pull my book up, or I'll turn my audiobook up. And it's
Absolutely.
like, and I have a hearing aid, so it just clicks right into my hearing aid, so nobody even knows what I'm doing.
It's a win-win. I feel like people think you're listening to them whole time. You in a whole nother world.
Oh, yeah. You never know what's coming into this year. So you said when you graduated from college, you wanted to write a book, but what made you pursue that publishing that first time?
Oh, so like when I was in third grade, I knew I wanted to write a book. Like, we had it was a third grade project. We all had to write books and illustrate them. And I from that point I was like, oh, I want to write a book, but I didn't know real like regular people wrote books. I didn't know how the books came to be, but I
They just
didn't,
magically showed up in the library.
right? Like I
Wow.
didn't think that I would be able to write a book, but I had a list of 30 things because after grad school I was like, I cannot read another like textbook. I can't read
Wow.
anything else that is not like taking me on a journey.
Away, yeah.
And so I had a list of 30 things I wanted to do before I turned 30. And reading a novel was the number one thing I wanted to do. So it was what I ended up doing first. And I love the process of writing it. I love the story. I still to this day love the story. Now, if anybody were to read that story, I feel like my skill has grown. That was my first attempt at fiction. But I published it and I never took it. I didn't like take it down because kind of like that's where I was.
It's
And
still out in the world for people to
right,
see.
still there. And so but I love the story. And then I was like, oh, well then I'm gonna write another one. And then I kept going. And then 3 years later, I was like, I'm gonna make this my full-time job. And so that's really when I stopped being able to read because like with it being my full-time job, I felt like I was putting out books more frequently. But yeah, it was my list of 30 things to do before I turned 30. Like I felt like I wanted to do it. And sometimes you just need that push to like just do it. There's so many people who say they want to write a book, but they don't. And I feel like it's just because they just haven't taken the time to just do it. Like sometimes you have to like put like that fire under yourself and just be like, if I don't do it, it won't get done.
Now, are you one of those people who finished all 30 things before they turned 30, or do you still have a couple lingers?
I don't even know where that list is. I feel like by the time I turned 30, I had done maybe 20 of the 30 things,
Hey,
but
that's pretty good, like number though.
and I thought so too, but like some of the things that I didn't do, it was like, oh, I want to go to the Maldives. I didn't know how much that cost or where the people was. It was just, I kept hearing about it and I would see pictures. And I'm like, oh, that's beautiful. And I actually priced it. I said, whoa, okay, wait a minute. That
Maybe
might,
that's a bucket list item, not a
right?
30 list item.
That in my lifetime. Maybe
That's
that's not.
if I win the lottery type of
Right, like
trick.
that. I was mistaken when I wrote
You're
that.
like, maybe if there's a Maldives like California, that
A
one's
Maldives
doable.
adjacent. Like, that's what I
Maldives
need.
adjacent, exactly. Or like, if there's like an exhibit, a museum about it, I'll go
Yes,
there. I was at the
that's where I need to
Maldives.
go.
I just didn't get to like walk in the sand itself, but I got to see it.
I experienced it. And honestly,
Exactly.
that's what counts.
Do you have a bucket list subgenre that you would like to write?
Oh, absolutely. So I plan speaking it into existence to write a mystery. I've written like romantic mystery, like heartache and heartfelt, where like the heartache series, it's three books, and the third book is just a spin-off. It's like the best friend story, and it's less mystery. It's more like surprise pregnancy. It was the whole thing. But heartache was my first attempt at like mystery romance, and I loved it. Not that many people read it, and that, but like I loved doing it. And then the same with like the Women of V series, that is a mystery. Like someone dies, you don't know who, and it's kind of like How to Get Away with Murder. So but I want to write, I mean, because I feel like there's going to be romance in it. If I'm writing it, there's going to be romance in it. But I cannot wait to be in a position to write a mystery. I feel like mysteries take longer for me anyway, because all the dots need to connect. Because I'm the type of person when I'm watching or reading a mystery, I'm like, well, wait a minute. This was never mentioned. This doesn't even make sense because, but like, I love it when there's like a little thread. And like, so when you get to the end, it's not obvious, but when you think about it, you're like, oh, wait a minute. And that for me takes longer because you want to make sure all of the notes are hitting where they're supposed to, but it's also kind of hidden, so it can be a surprise. So like, but I plan to write one day.
Eventually.
Yes.
So
One day.
for your writing process, are you a planner or are you a pantser?
I am a pantser.
Yeah.
I let the characters tell me what they want to do. I know who the characters are
Okay.
and what the point of my story is. There's always a purpose in everything that I write, and there's always a message or more, like one or more, that I want people to walk away with in the story. But like outside of that, I let the characters like tell me what they want to do. And like sometimes I might know like how it's going to end or like just key things that need to happen. I let the characters just, I let it
They
play in
lead
my head
you.
like a movie. Yes, they lead the way and I just follow. But for Heartache and Heartfelt and for The Women of V though, I definitely had to, I didn't plot it all the way out,
We had
but
little like bullet points essentially.
for the mystery aspect of it, I see the like people fall in love because I like it when it feels like they are genuinely falling in love, like these are real people or they're real in my head, and them to like just fall in love organically. So I let that play out the way it's supposed to play out, but the mystery part or whatever it is that I'm trying to say, like that is all threaded through. And sometimes, especially with the two like series that I named, like I had to plan out the different things that happened so that when it got to the end, people would be like, oh, that's like stalking Roman, or oh, that person died, and like that's why. Like I wanted it to be like you to be able to feel it and see it.
Now, when you change up your method, do you struggle with like your characters, or do you still like does it still flow fairly easily?
The for because I haven't written that many mysteries, but like for those, I plan out what the mystery is.
Okay, but the characters you don't.
The characters, I still let them do what they do, and
Okay.
so it's just a matter of like making sure it all like comes together the way it's supposed to. But like it just makes it a little longer of a process because I'm like always like double
That
checking.
mystery is in your the back of your head the whole
Yeah.
time.
But with the romance, I'm like, if they deviate from what I thought they were gonna do,
You just let them
I'm
go.
kind of like, okay, well, this is what y'all think. Like, but I feel like that with the mystery can get like trying to make sure it still flows with the like that was what was taking longer. But when it's romance, it's just I want them to fall in love.
Well, as do I. Do you have any rituals or habits that you have that help you stay focused and productive? Which I love this question because everybody is so different.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine. So I will, it depends on where I am in the story. I will light a candle. I like the candle, like
Set the mood.
right, the ambiance, right? And then I will have my snack. I typically love Hershey's Kisses because they're so small and cute and you can just pop it in and keep going. But like if I am at least a quarter of the way into the story, that's when I start, because when even when I'm just out and about, I'm adding to a playlist for my story. And they're not in order yet, but every song that comes to mind that feels like those characters, I put in a playlist. So a quarter of the way in, that's when I'll have like the music playing lightly in the background. I don't typically like to write in silence. I mean, in the beginning, I can, like the first quarter,
But
but
once the everything starts flowing, like you need that like background, like the
it's
vibe fluff.
absolutely. And if it's not music, it's a TV show, and like specifically, it's Frasier, because I've seen,
Frasier.
yes, Frasier Crane.
Like old school Frasier or like the new.
I watched that only because it was like, oh, it's Frasier, it's back. Like, I'm gonna watch it. But like after
I have not delved into that because I really enjoyed the original Frasier, and I was like, I don't know if I could watch it, and it's not the same.
it's not, but it's like, Oh, okay. Like,
Yeah.
I tuned in to support, but like,
And then you tuned back out.
I tuned right back out. I don't know. I didn't watch it when it came on like network TV. But I remember distinctly being in college. And even though I'm only 29, I just want to put that out there. I remember being in college and watching and like having an 8 o'clock class, coming back, and on Lifetime, there was Designing Women
Oh,
came on.
I love that too.
Me too.
I am a little older than you though, so I was definitely watching it at a different time.
So Designing Women, no, I'm again holding steady at 29 or like, but so like there was Designing Women came on 2 episodes, and then Frasier came on for like 4 episodes, and I started watching it then, and I was just like, this is funny, like I'm amused. And so then like I ended up in that time spot, like I ended up watching all of the episodes that came about. And then a few years later, when Netflix had it on there, I watched it. So I've seen the entire series
Multiple times.
at least 40 times, like the whole way through, all 11 seasons, at least 40 times. Although admittedly, sometimes when I start over, I start at season 3 and I just don't do 1 and 2 over again. But
You got to be in the mood for one and two.
sometimes that takes away from the writing process, but like I'll put that on in the background because it's funny enough and amusing enough to keep my like
Well, and
attention.
you've watched it so much that you know what's going to happen. Like it's just like
Right.
a comfort, like noise.
Exactly. And I'm amused enough, but not too much to like be distracted by it. I already know what's gonna happen. Like it's so, and it's enough seasons that I can just let it play and I'm not like, okay, what am I gonna put on next or whatever. Like I can like start it and then like for the whole week and I still haven't hit all of the episodes. That was back when, you know, TV was giving you consistently 20 to 24 episodes a season. And so 11 seasons of that,
So my husband, he goes to sleep watching The Office every night. I
Okay.
have seen we collectively have seen The Office many, many times. But I
Yes.
have seen single episodes like four times because he falls asleep and then rewinds it to where he fell asleep.
And then you're
And
like,
so
I saw.
I mean, granted, I'm not watching, I'm like reading when we're going to bed, but I will listen to the same episode like 3 days in a row. And it's just like, it's a good thing I really enjoy that show because if not, I may just push you off the bed in your sleep. So I get it because like The Office, like it's like there are times where like there'll be a part where it's so funny that like I just lay there and laugh because it's like I just hear it and I'm like, I remember the first time I heard it and it was hilarious and it's still funny how many years later.
Yes. And I feel like, and there's something comforting about that too, because it's like, my part's coming up. And so go
Exactly.
watch, and then you go back to what you're
Yeah,
doing.
we were watching an episode a couple weeks ago. He's like, wait, here it's coming up. And I'm like, I know. I have seen this like 30 times as well. He's like, yeah, but it's so funny. I'm like,
Don't have to tell me. I know.
I understand. All right, so let's talk Plus Size Player. It came out in June 10th, 2025. And this is Nina's book, and it is book two of the Curvy Summer Curve, no, Curves
Series.
Curve series. I was thinking Curvy Summer, and I'm like, but that doesn't, it didn't, I didn't write it down. And but so this is Nina's book. And let me tell you, I love Nina. Like I love everything about her. So she is an influencer in like the fashion world, but she is plus size, but she is proud of her size. She is confident while she does still have insecurities, which valid, but she just is such a fierce woman. And I love everything about her.
Yes, I same. And I felt like I haven't seen a fictional character like her depicted, especially not in traditional spaces and traditional media. So I really like I all three women are very confident. Like Aaliyah, Nina, and Jasmine are all confident in who they are and how they look. But Nina, because of her job, she is very like outwardly like, yes, I'm a bad bitch. What is it? Like, what do you want? Like, and I feel like for her to move through the world so unapologetically, I felt like that was necessary to show, especially like when I pitched it, I was like, Aaliyah's is more of like the middle of the road. Like, again, all of them are confident, but she's more of the, yes, I know I'm pretty. I know what I deserve. And I'm looking for the one. Nina's like, I'm that girl. And if you want an opportunity to get next to me, like take a number. Like I'll
You
let you
can join
know.
my roster.
Right. Like I'll let you know if your number is called. But like, and Jasmine, she has been through some things. And so she's just kind of like, yes, like I'm pretty. So what? I'm not interested in dating you. I don't know. You can't have my number.
I'm done with you.
Yeah, like
Just walk away.
please leave me alone. Leave me be. And so they all like have that energy, but like Nina is very outwardly very confident and like oozes that in a way that people don't expect because of how she looks. People like it's when people move through the world and they're confident, and for whatever reason, other people, if they feel like you are worthy of that confidence, then they're like, okay, that's cool. They feel like you are not worthy of it, they quickly try to tear you down.
But she never allows that to happen. Like
Absolutely.
she is like stands up for herself. She advocates for herself. Like she's like, I know my worth and you cannot bring me down to your level.
Yes.
And I love the friendship that they have. Like they build each other up. Like there's never tearing each other down. Like they give some hard truths,
Yes.
but in such a way that like it's never demeaning to you. Any of them. Like they love hard and they truly just build each other up. And it's just, that's so fantastic.
Thank you. I feel like that's how friendship should be. Like great friend group, and we operate like that, where it's like we're always going to like pour into one another, but also like if it's like, hey, you need to tighten up, like no, you were actually the one who was in the wrong, like let's call it what it is. And so like being able to have that level of love and respect for one another to be able to tell the truth, whether they want to hear it or not, to hold that mirror up to like that's true friendship, that's deep friendship. And so like these three like love each other. They have a sisterly bond, and they are quick to be like, I love you, I want the best for you, and
But you're
that
fucking up right now.
right, you fucked up, so let's get that together. And so, and because they know it's coming from a place of love, because I feel like difference when someone says something like that you don't want to hear and you feel like they're coming from a place of like attacking you, and you're going to take it differently than when someone says something and it's coming from a place of love and you hear it in a way that's like, okay, they're telling me this because they love me, not because,
And they know I don't want to hear it, but they're going to tell me anyway.
right, they love me enough to tell me anyway.
Well, and her parents, like they are very loving and very proud of her. And any interaction we get with her and her parents, like they build her up as well. Like there's never that, because so oftentimes when you are reading a romance book and it has a fat heroine, there's always like that negative, not always, but oftentimes there's a negative reaction from like the parental units where it's like, why can't you be in better shape or do this or eat a little bit less or these things. But like her parents were so proud of all of her accomplishments. And their only issue through the book was, are you sure like you want to make this decision for your business? And also, maybe your roster is done. Like maybe you need to venture away from the roster.
Like, and the thing even with that is like her parents are why Nina is the way she is. Confident in who she is because they poured that into her. She is so sure of herself because they made sure that she could be. So when, and they like, they encourage the roster. They are like, date, because don't settle for, I don't want you ending up with just any old body.
Don't settle for anything less than what you deserve.
Not. And so, like, when, but just like with her best friends, her mom in particular is like, no, the way you speak about this person is different. So I feel like that's what it is. And even if she didn't want to hear it, that's the observation somebody that she loves is having when she's talking about this man. And it's like,
Well, and it's somebody who
oh.
has encouraged her to live her life the way that she wants.
And like sometimes it's like you are the last person to see something, especially, and like one of the points that I wanted to make with Nina's story is that all of the men that on Nina's roster, they weren't only that one thing. They had to all like be kind, have like be employed, had to have their stuff together, be emotionally intelligent, be generous, be all of these things before they could even like earn a spot. So when they were delegated to the thing that they're best at, that was just their top quality, but they already had all these other qualities. And I feel like a lot of times we put people in boxes. And so she, although they met the minimum requirement to for entry, she was like, oh, you're funny, you're gonna be my funny one. So they did funny stuff. The smart one, like if he tried to take her somewhere, like yeah, they could go to dinner, they could eat, but like if he tried to take her somewhere like an amusement park, like what are you doing? That's not,
That's not your job.
right, like I'm here to learn, like what can you
I
teach?
have a man for that.
Right,
You're
like
not
what
my
do
man
you
for
do? What do
that.
you do? You play your position,
Well,
sir.
and that's one thing I love about the way you have your blurb set up. It's like she loves this and this, and she is a man for that. And it's like you
Yes.
lay it all out. And that's the thing. Like she typically has like four people, like four men that she's dating at the same time, but she's open, unapologetic about it. And like everybody knows, like, everybody knows, like there's no secrets, like that they know that they're not the only one.
Yes. And I think that's so important because so many people, they lie and manipulate and think that is them being a player. That is not being a player. That is being a liar. If you can tell someone, hey, I want to date you, you won't be the only person I'm dating, though. And
And if
like,
you're not okay with that, please move
right, that's
on.
completely okay. But if you want to participate, you can. All of these men are willing participants of her roster, and they like hope to get elevated. And you know,
And let's see what happens. But so Russell is one of the men she's dating. He is the fun one. And we come to find that he is actually like connected. No. Okay, I won't say that. He's connected to things that we don't know why.
yes.
But so she gets this job that like she like basically like all of her influencing for other companies, like she stops at and she is focused on this one thing, and it's just and she puts all her eggs in one basket and she's terrified of it. And Russell is like this guy who they don't know what they do. Like they go out, they have fun, they have conversation, but he doesn't know what she does. And I mean, he kind of does, but she has no idea what he does. And so it's one of those things where their worlds connect in a way that they weren't expecting.
Yes, like so when they cross paths, when they do, it's an unexpected surprise. But they also, where they meet was also a the same type of event. So while it was an unexpected surprise, it also wasn't that unexpected. Like she didn't see it coming, but at the same time, it's like, well, I didn't meet him at the thing before. It for her to all of the jobs that she has, all of the influencing that she does, it's she's able to get all of these different streams of income. The same way with the men, it's like I'm able to get there's no one dream job or one dream man, or if there is, it's very unlikely that I'll cross his path or that I'll job. So why not, instead of wasting time being like, oh, like I'm gonna like settle for this man that's giving me 75% of what I want, or settle for this job that's giving me 75% of what I want. I'm going to live every day making the most out of every experience. So to be offered a job that is everything that she wants, it's scary because that means you have to cut things off with all of these other sources of income that were paying the bills, that were doing great things in her life. And the same with a man, where it's, I cut off all these are great. All of those men that she dated were great men, but her chemistry with Russ made it seem like, you know, maybe they weren't the best. They were great. They just weren't
Well,
her
and
match.
that's something we learn as like as the book moves on, as their relationship grows, and as the conversations get deeper, like she has those come to realization moments where it's like he is more than like I was allowing myself to see. And that's when her friends and her mom and like the people who like surround her like t tell her like you've created this lifestyle for yourself, which has been wonderful and it's worked for you, but maybe it's not working for you anymore. And like you're looking past like those limitations you've set on yourself.
And given permission for her to like let it's okay, like because Nina loves her life and loves how she moves through the world, and so giving Nina permission to like it's okay to like to love how you were living and then a chance on this other way of life, and so that's what.
I mean, and it takes some growing pains and things are not smooth sailing and I think, but it's a very realistic take on the way that their story plays out. Like they don't know if they're going to make it and they make decisions and then they're not sure about those decisions. And it's just very heartfelt, but one thing about it is like her confidence never falters throughout the book.
Yes, she knew who she was, and no matter what was going on, she knew who she was and who she was, and she wasn't going to allow anything deter from that. Like she knew
Well,
who she was.
and the banter with like characters and their dialogue, it's so smooth and so like snappy at the same time. And I eyeballed about half the book and then I switched to the audiobook. And Wesley Chabon, like the amazing
Is so great.
work that that woman does. So Becky loves her audio books and I've listened to a couple and I can see why, because there's just something about the way that she creates these voices for these characters. Like it draws you in and you do not want to stop listening.
It is so good. Like she
So
is so
good.
good. Like when I was. So other people had already gotten their ARCs, like their ALCs. And I was like,
Where's mine?
y'all gonna send me one? But they're waiting to send me the finished copy. So like everyone got the other copy. And I was just like, all right. And so when I finally got it and I listened, I had to stop and text her. And I was like, girl, you did that. Because she, it's one thing when I'm seeing it and hearing it in my head because I'm like going over it again and again, trying to make sure it's right. And like, and even when I'm reading it back, it's just like making sure that I'm telling the story that I want to tell, that the messages are coming through, that the jokes are doing what they need to do, all of those things. But to be able to just like turn that part of my brain off and just listen, it just made my heart so happy because it was just like I could be like in the story. And the way she does, I always tell people like she's a voice actress. Like she isn't just a narrator, she is a voice actress because
She brings every book
she
alive.
does. She does. And by herself, like
Well, and actually, I was talking to Becky before I came on here, and I am a person who I typically do not love books where it's a single point of view, like the whole book. Like, I like to be in both characters' heads. Like, I like that. I was like, I did not need Russ at all, because the way that she creates this voice for Nina, like you as the author, but her as the narrator and bringing life to these characters. Like, I mean, it would have been nice to have him, but I didn't miss him at the same time.
yes, like that. I like single point of view because that's how we roll through the world. Like we
That's your
only
thought
have our,
process.
right. Like we only have our point of view. And so we are navigating with just the knowledge of what we know and what other people tell us, but like we're not in their heads. And so that's what I love about like
See, I never thought of it that way, but that's actually really good. I may like go into it differently now.
thank you. But like I've definitely had people say like they want like who Aaliyah ended up with, they want like his point of view, and Nina ended up with, they want his point of view. And I feel like that would be cool to write, maybe, if like if the characters were to talk to me like that.
But they don't.
It like right now they haven't been, but I think the only thing I would write about like who Aaliyah ended up with, just like his thoughts while she was on dates. Like, because he, in my mind, he was talking shit the entire time. Like, just out here. Like, I just feel it. But like, I feel like the type of man that Russ is, he let his feelings be known. Like, so there
Yeah,
wouldn't
like there was,
be in his
he
head.
was
It's like,
open, he was honest.
yes.
There's a little pining when he wasn't around her,
Yeah, I love it.
but I really love like the way that they came together and the way the relationship developed, and it just worked in on all levels for me.
Thank you, thank you. That makes me so happy. I appreciate that.
So what's next?
So, Jazz's story comes out April 2026. So, Curvy Girl Summer ran from the end of June until the end of August. And then Plus Size Player, Nina's story, runs from August 1st through the middle of September. Mind you, do you remember in Curvy Girl Summer where Aaliyah met Nina to go to a concert?
No, I don't.
They go to a concert. Nina's story starts actually that Sunday after that concert. And then it runs through the middle of September. And then Jasmine's story, like a lot of people came into the series on Nina's story.
Well, yeah, because they had that birthday party with like everybody there.
Yes, like they like everyone came for Aaliyah's birthday party. Yeah, Aaliyah's story, you just know that everybody came. You don't too. So then, you already know who Aaliyah's date is, and then know who
But so
Nina.
you build on that party in this one. Because
So,
I will say I didn't read all of book one. I skimmed it to get like the gist of it. But I do have to go back and read it. But like I wanted to prep for this one and like all that stuff. And so, but yeah, I really did enjoy those characters too. But I definitely need to go back and read it. But yeah, I think that's great though. Like you kind of teased it and then you build on it in this one.
So like, and then you get a little bit more because everything in Aaliyah's story was culminated around she wants to find a man, her man, by her birthday, and then because her Aaliyah's birthday is just like a pit stop on in the journey of Nina's story, a big day, of course. It's her best friend's birthday, but it's not like the major thing
No,
in.
but big things happen and it comes back in the end.
Absolutely, absolutely. And so when Jasmine's story runs from June, now Jasmine is out of town. Jasmine is in her hometown,
Yes.
which is on the southern border of Virginia.
Okay.
And so 5 hours away from Richland, which is their town, the town that they live in. And so Jasmine is not having the same type of summer that Aaliyah and Nina had. It is dealing with like family
It's
stuff.
heavy, yeah.
Right. And so her book isn't as like funny and like lighthearted, but it is, I love the story so much. But like I recommend reading Aaliyah's story, then Nina's story, then Jasmine's story. But a lot of people have read Nina's story, then went back to Aaliyah's story.
Well, that's how I did it. I read Nina and then I went back to skim so I could get like more of the gist for talking to you, and also because I really just enjoyed those characters a lot.
Thank you. The like when you go back and read it, then you'll be able to pick up on the stuff
Okay.
Jasmine like is going through. But also, like it is, I mean, because I don't want to spoil anything. So in Jasmine's story, it goes from June in
Okay.
the late June through the fall.
Okay, so there's some overlap that we get.
So we get overlap, but Jasmine's book has to be read last. So
Okay.
like even though some people come in on book two, it's okay. I don't love it, but it's okay. You go back and read book one. But Jasmine's book has to come last because there are so many spoilers, because the stuff that Jasmine's going through is the stuff that you need your friends for.
Right.
And when you are leaning on your friends, sometimes their men also are there to support you and lift you up. So you're seeing how Aaliyah is operating in her couple and
Yeah.
how Nina is operating in her couple while Jasmine is operating in her own romance.
Turmoil.
Right, because like she's going through it. So her summer is different, but you know, she makes it back in time for the party. And that's when it kicks off fall, and there's a whole lot of things that happen in
Oh.
fall. So the stuff that happens in the summer is very interesting, but it isn't the type of summer that Aaliyah and Nina had.
It's not the
It
type of
is
summer anybody wants.
right. It
Just
it's
from
that
like
different.
little bits and pieces we get, it is not a summer anybody wants.
Exactly. She's having a sad girl summer. And
Yeah.
then, but like fall things,
Okay.
and so,
I'm looking forward to it.
yay! Yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Danielle, for joining me for this author spotlight. It has been a delight to hear about your journey.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been such a good time and a good conversation. I appreciate you.
Thank you. And until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.